going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
And here we go. Digital Adele back with another Hoops Profile Beyond the Backboard podcast for you with my co-host, Matt Hanifin. How are you doing today, Matt?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. Unfortunately, I woke up this morning. It's like raining slash snowing in my area, which I don't like. Very cold, but I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. Despite
awesome.
The gloom out.
Yeah, despite the gloomy weather, the snow and the sleet, I hear you. I've been in a similar circumstance on my trip here in the Pennsylvania / DMV area of Maryland and Virginia. I've been all over the place. And I went back over the mountains today, and wouldn't you know it, there was freezing rain over the mountains. It was 27 degrees, a little bit slippy. I mean, there was so much fog, you couldn't even really see what where I was going. So I'm lucky I made it safe. And I fly back out to Florida on Saturday, so I'll be back home in the comfy confines of my office, where we'll be able to do our podcast as normal. I don't know if we're going to continue to use this playback room for podcasts, but I really like the setup, like the sleek design of it, the way that the audience can see the both of us plus your screen. Like, it's a really clean fit. And so if you have any comments, leave a comment down below on if you think we should continue to use this playback room. Or do you like the creator tools that we were using on the other setup with Streamlabs, where you got the alert boxes that pop up and all that stuff? So let me know which one you like better, this playback room or the Streamlabs setup with the fancy neon outlines and all that stuff. But let's get right to it, man. I'm really excited to talk about this mock draft. We have a 2025 NBA mock draft done by ESPN. And let me see who actually gets the byline on this, or is it a combination?
Yeah, Givony and Wu, the two guys who typically do it for ESPN.
Okay, so Givony and Wu. So I just read a 100 prospect list, because I was going through my own list of prospects, and I did a 100 prospect list while I was looking through their 100 prospect list. So this will be very interesting. To see where they, how they ended up in their mock draft. So let's get right into it. We're going to start in the first round. This is a 2-round mock draft, so we're not going to spend a ton of time because we've talked about this top half of the draft ad nauseum. So let's get right into it. Let's start with the Washington Wizards. They, of course, get the number one pick in Cooper Flagg. This kid is just absolutely outstanding at everything he does. I mean, he is a true, unselfish, all-star, superstar, all-NBA player in the making. Finishes really well. He's explosive, plays hard, plays defense, rebounds, blocks shots, scores inside, mid-range, outside. True three-level threat. There's not a lot I can say. He's a unanimous first-round pick, in my opinion.
You mean first overall pick?
First round, first overall pick. Correct.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. If just thinking about the fit for a second, him and Koulibaly with Bub.
Oof.
It's a fun future. Fun future.
Yeah, no, that's a super fun future, but not just him and Koulibaly, but you could really play small if you needed to, and you could go Sar. Yeah, you could go Sar. You could go Cooper Flag, and then you could go Koulibaly, Bub Carrington, Jordan Poole. Like, yeah, that's tough, man. That's a good start to the turnaround of the franchise.
Yeah. This one's interesting. So New Orleans is up next. I'm guessing, did they specify this at the top? I'm guessing it just goes by descending record.
I'll let you take this one. I'm typing to the chat, so go for it.
But Dylan Harper, the Pelicans have a clear, like, need, like, point guard with CJ there.
Right.
Zion's still there. They just traded Ingram away. They acquired Bruce Brown and Kelly Olynyk. If I was New Orleans, I'd probably go Harper as well in this spot. Not that I don't like Ace Bailey, not that I don't like even Jakachonis, who I don't think is in consideration for this two spot, but he obviously is a very, very good point guard. But I would go Dylan Harper here. You know, that playmaking, very, like, I good defender for his size, like physical guard, good finisher, right. Crafty finisher around the rim, knows how to navigate tight spaces. Obviously, you and I have had questions about the jump shot, but now he's in an environment where Zion, Misi, the spacing may be a little bit weird, but I think they, if you're just looking at like a team need, not that you would go for a team need with the number two overall pick,
right?
But like, because I also do think Harper was probably the best player available, but like, just from a team need perspective, this is a team that has needed like a true point guard. And not that Dylan, I wouldn't call him like a true point guard, but he fits that mold to an extent. So I like this spot for him, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, man. I mean, there's a lot worse spots that you can fall in the NBA. I mean, you have a true pick and roll. Absolutely. And you have a true pick and roll threat with Eve Misi as a young part of that core, with somebody that likes to get downhill like Dylan Harper. I just think it's a terrific fit for what they're trying to do and what you're going to want to do. Because when you have that lob threat guy, the guy that's going to set really solid screens, he's really athletic, he's going to do the dirty work. It really becomes one of those things that makes the life of a young point guard that much easier. And then you have point of attack defense with Harper, with Misi on the backside cleaning things up. And then you have, of course, Zion, if he can stay healthy, you know, in that mix to be really dynamic. Also as a pick and roll type of guy. I like it, man. I like the fit for Dylan Harper. I wouldn't be mad at it. I could see why they would do it, but I'm still not sold on Harper as the clear number two. I think Ace Bailey is a unique shot maker that could be right in this conversation, and we're going to talk about him next.
Yeah, man, shot creation, whether you want to go with Ace, whether you want to go with Harper in the spot for New Orleans, it's a good spot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also like a good situation considering, you know, their season's been beat up with injuries. Like you add these guys into the mix with DeJounte, with Zion, with Misi, with Trey Jones, or not Trey Jones, Trey Murphy. With Herb Jones. I mixed the two names up.
You combined them.
Yeah, I combined them. Trey Jones. No, point guard on the Bulls now. Not on the Pelicans.
Not on the Pelicans, that's right. But yeah, so I mean, I think he's a great fit. I think you could fit in with that young core. I like Ace Bailey myself. I'm still leaning Ace Bailey as, you know, number two overall on my big board nowadays. And the reason why is in Harper's absence, whenever he's been asked to be the guy at 6'10", to be able to create and go get your own bucket whenever you want, and then to be able to have a true shooting percentage of 55%, because his shots that he takes on that team, because they lack a high talent level as a team, they're incredibly difficult shots. And he consistently makes them. Three-pointers, mid-range, layups, buckets, gets rebounds. long, rangy defender. A lot more meat on that bone for him to continue to grow on the defensive end. I love what Ace Bailey brings to the table, and it's very rare to find a guy of that size to be able to make shots in the manner that he makes shots. And he's always on balance. As soon as he dots those toes, man, that shot gets up quick. I'm a big fan of Ace Bailey.
And now he's in this mock going to the Utah Jazz, who's number 3 overall pick. I think this would be a good spot for him.
It's a great fit.
Yeah, you put him next to Lowry. Obviously, we talked about on Tuesday Collier's kind of emergence, like they're giving him more reps than they have over the last, you know, 2-3-4 weeks. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what the contract situations look like for some of these guys too. So some of them may actually be free agents or whatever. But I know
Lowry's probably going to be gone. Yeah.
Well, yeah,
I think Lowry's going
to be gone. Yeah, he signed the extension, ineligible to be traded for a year. But who knows if he's going to be traded by, you know, next August or next September or whatever the case is. So
right.
But I think this would be a good fit for Ace.
Him or Kessler? I mean, Kessler's going to be gone too, right? One or the other. I don't think they both stay.
I would, if I were to, I could see a world where both of them get traded.
Right. Because, I mean, neither of them may be there.
Right. Like, I, because again, like, it feels like Kessler's been on the market for a year and a half now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing whether it's someone like the Lakers, which I don't know if Danny Ainge will want to deal with them again after the Luka thing. But I think there's going to be, you know, a team somewhere who's going to hunt for being the market for bigs. And same thing with Lowry. Like last year, it was almost Golden State.
Yeah.
But they didn't want to trade away Pods. And so I think there's a world where both can be gone. But regardless, I still think like Ace, who's going to be turning 19 in August, His level of shot making, shot creation, still has to make strides as a playmaker and defender, but I think that'll come with, you know, time.
I think his playmaking's better than we give him credit for because of the lack of talent around him. I just think that he handles the ball better than he did earlier in the season. He's stronger with the ball.
Yeah,
and that playmaking, if he gets more talent around him, is going to just pop a lot better in the NBA. But let's move on to the Charlotte Hornets. Number 4, they take VJ Edgecombe out of Baylor over my guy, Kasparis Jakaciones. And I can understand it. The way this kid's been playing the last stretch of games, man, he's just been outstanding. I mean, he's an uber athlete. The big thing and big question for me is going to be his measurables. He's going to bring that point of attack defense, the explosiveness in the open court, that up and down style that LaMelo Ball likes to play, fast pace, get out and run. And his shot's coming around. He's been able to knock down threes, pest in the passing lane, tough on ball defender, rebounds, just generally plays really, really hard. I think his game is going to translate even better in the NBA than it does in the NCAA, which is saying something.
It's a lot of athleticism on that roster, man.
Yes.
With Edgecombe, Miles Bridges, who I don't think should be in the league for different reasons. Mark Williams, Monster. That's a lot of athleticism on that roster, man.
You forgot Brandon Miller, man.
Brandon Miller.
Yeah.
Tons of athleticism. Obviously Miller and LaMelo are ignitable in themselves, but like,
right.
I think Edgecombe, like playing off ball and then obviously providing the point of attack defense alongside LaMelo and not taking that pressure off him, but being kind of that, you know, defensive minded guard who can take those assignments.
Right.
Once, you know, as he develops experience is something that I think will be vital to what they want to do over there.
Absolutely. This next one is a little strange to me. Kasparis Jakaciones, because I would have him as a better fit in Charlotte than I do in Toronto, because he's a ball dominant guard. He can play off ball, but he's so good at handling the ball, making decisions, getting downhill, getting fouled. Him and Brandon Ingram together to me just don't seem like a fit. Now, he has good point of attack defense, good positional defense. He gets over screens well, but he doesn't have super elite foot speed, and Brandon Ingram isn't really a great defender either. Jacoby Walter's been good for them defensively, but he's not really he isn't a guy that I've been as high on as the media has been high on in terms of Jacoby Walter. So it's just a little bit of a weird fit for me. But I really like Kasper Jakachonis. I personally would have him going to Charlotte before EJ Edgecombe.
It's not even just the Brandon Ingram part of it. It's they have Quickly, they have Barnes, they have Barrett.
Yep. Like,
Toronto has been one of the, like, surprisingly enough, they have been one of the league's best defenses over, like, the last month or so.
Right.
Mogbo's been, like, I know we talked about him a bunch pre-draft this last year. Mogbo's been awesome for them.
Absolutely.
Barnes, Jakapertl, like Grady's been better defensively.
Right.
Like they have guys who are like, who they've bought in, and like they're flying around. They have, you know, plenty of length and size, but I just wonder if there's a consolidation move between either one of Quickly or Barrett.
Yeah.
Now that
that's
they
a good point.
Sign, or now that they traded and extended Ingram, traded for and extended Ingram. So I wonder if there's a consolidation move there in the offseason, and I'm sure that's something that they're going to tackle, because that's a lot of money allocated to four players who I don't think
you absolutely want
that much money allocated to four of those guys.
Right. No, you're
so
right.
I could see this being a fit, especially like if Quickly's the one on the way out.
Right.
But I love Jakachonis' game, and whether it's here, whether it's Charlotte, whether it's even Utah. Like, I mean, maybe
not
much Utah as the other two, but I definitely see like the positional fit. And
I don't think he goes above four. I don't think Jakachonis goes above four in this draft. Any other draft, he could be a contender for the first pick. Like if Jakachonis was in the 2024 draft, for example. I think he's right up there fighting for that first spot. Like, and you know, I had Steph Castle as the highest graded player in last year's draft. I would have probably had Jakachonis right there with him.
Yeah. No, so, yeah, I mean, he's certainly up there for sure.
Absolutely. So let's go to number six, shall we? This is a guy that you and I absolutely love. Publicly, he's been falling down draft boards, which I don't get at all. But they do a great job here in this mock draft of getting Con Knipple to the Brooklyn Nets at the sixth overall pick. This kid is way better than the national narrative gives credit. He's a knockdown shooter. If you look at this article, they have 61.3% true shooting percentage, 40% of three 40% of his three-pointers are on shot creation duties. Is that what? Yeah, I believe that's what that's
well,
saying.
Well, it's hitting. It's just like he's shouldering shot creation, but he's shooting 40% from three.
Ah, while he's also doing that. I get what you're saying. That makes a lot of sense. I mean, he's a knockdown three-point shooter. And the fact that he can create shots, the way he attacks closeouts, that's one of the big things for me, is the way Knipple attacks closeouts, it surprises almost every single defender he goes against nightly, because he's able to consistently beat closeouts. And that's one of the concerns with his lack of foot speed. We've talked about him a lot as well. I think that's a great fit in Brooklyn. And I expect them to move, you know, did they move Cam Johnson at the deadline?
No.
No.
Surprising.
So I think they are going to move him next year. And he would be a great upgrade, in my opinion, over Cam Johnson coming in there with a higher ceiling.
I wonder what kind of creation burden he would actually have if he stepped. Because who do they have at point there?
I'm not really sure who they have. I can't remember. My memory is
Johnson's been getting a run. Cam Johnson's up. Cam Thomas.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember like who's or and it was Ben Simmons probably for a while.
It was Ben Simmons for a lot, right?
Yeah.
But they don't really have a true point, I don't think. I think that's the big thing. They don't really have a true point.
Not saying he wouldn't fit there, but I'm just saying, like, I wonder what kind of burden he would have right away if they didn't get one by the start of the next regular season.
Well, I really hope that if he going into that combine, he really needs to work on his foot speed. Like, he really needs to make that a priority. If he can do that, I think he could thrive even in that situation. Let's move to number 7. The Bulls select Kaman Malawach. Again, I saw the craziest thing the other day. I think it was like a ranking ladder of these guys. And Malawach was like way down in like the 18th spot or something like that. They did a great job of putting him here at number 7, the Chicago Bulls. You pair him with Matas Vazelis and the rest of that young cast. You got Kobe White down there. And you have a young core that can go forward and really make some noise, even though they traded away Zach LaVine. I really like this fit for Malawach, and I really like this fit for the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, like he has players who can create for him. Like, because again, like the knock on him is the lack of self-creation. And like when you're 7'2 with the 7'6 wingspan, I don't even know if he has it. That might be underselling his wingspan.
Right.
And I say that.
Can't wait for the combine. Speaking
of that,
can't wait.
Like his rebounding, I think, has gotten better. His shot blocking, I think, has gotten better, or at least more consistent as time's gone on. Like, he's shown flashes. Like, there, again, we've talked about this, but like, there are times where Shire will switch 1 through 5. And so he'll be out defending like guards. And it's just like, yeah, sometimes he will get beat, but he's so just ginormous to where he's able to recover in time and make it a little bit more difficult. I love Malawach. This is a very interesting fit, especially if they trade Vooch, which, you know, it's something that we thought they were going to do at the deadline. They didn't end up doing it. They only traded away LaVine.
Well, it'll be really good for him to have him as a mentor, like to show him the ropes of how to be a pro until they do move him. Yeah. So that's good in a way as well for Malawach. But no, I do like it. I like the pick. I like the player. I like the fit. This next one's very perplexing to me, like extremely perplexing to me. And that is the Portland Trailblazers taking Jaeger Demin. He's super young. He's long. They say, you know, okay, they said lack strength and experience, which shows up a lot at BYU. His shot creation is there at times. He's able to hit some step back
jumpers. He's got nice form generally.
The one thing about this fit is they drafted Scoot Henderson. I didn't like Scoot really that much coming out of the draft. I remember whenever I tried to do a positive video because I didn't want to hammer the kid too much. I remember doing a positive video on Scoot, and then all I did was list negatives. Like, the entire video, like, the short was just negatives after negative after negative. So it's very interesting what happens to Scoot Henderson with that team, because he doesn't even start. He doesn't start. What's going to happen to him if they draft Demin? And how does this move your team forward if you keep drafting people at positions that duplicate? And I don't even think Demin's a sure thing like that. But he's talented. I don't know, man. I don't like this pick for the Portland Trailblazers.
I'm trying to figure out which – here, I'm going to pull up the board real quick. I'm trying to figure out which direction I would go if I was Portland. But I'm with you. Like, but the thing also with Portland that I've criticized them before on different platforms is they haven't really developed many guys, like, at all over the last – you know, 2-3 years. And so I think it's a difficult spot. Not saying that, like, if Scoot got full development, I'm just saying in general.
Yeah.
And with Demin, it's a weird fit. It's a weird, I think it could work, but I just think, like, yeah, Chauncey's done a good job with that group really recently.
Right.
But I mean, he's been on the hot seat. I don't know what his contract situation's like, or if he's going to be gone at the end of the year or something. But I just think there needs to be some more, like, the new development.
I agree.
Or like new developmental, like, coach or whatever. Like, because right now it's just not working with any of these guys outside
of, like, an organizational issue. It's like more than like, just Chauncey. It's like an organizational issue. Let me ask you this,
he certainly hasn't helped it.
Well, but no, he definitely hasn't helped it. But let me ask you this question. If they don't take Demean, Trey Johnson's available. That's who was screaming my name, was Trey Johnson. But you have Sharp, you have the other kid. What's the other kid's name? Simons. So you have Simons that would be in front of him. But Trey Johnson could play on ball more than people give him credit for. He's an extremely hard worker. He's a knockdown three-point shooter, which Demean is not at this point. And a kid that's going to work like that, defend, beat, and he's a great leader. I mean, he's an amazing leader. And that's exactly what you want on a young team. And then you could build around Kling. You'd have Donovan Klingeth. You'd have Sharp, Simons, Trey Johnson, Jeremy Grant, if he's still there. And you'd be able to have something. But with and then Scoot Henderson running that second unit off the bench. But if you bring in somebody like Demean, he's not going to start. He's not a starter right now. He's not immediately a starter, in my opinion, in the NBA. He's going to come off the bench. Are you going to play him and Scoot together? I mean, I think that's a disaster waiting to happen. And you play him and Scoot together. Yeah, I wouldn't do it either. So that's where I'm saying I really don't like that pick. But let's move on to the San Antonio Spurs. They take Jeremiah Fears out of Oklahoma, the point guard, the Chris Paul replacement. So he would be the Chris Paul replacement. 6'4", 182 pounds, 18 years old, could learn from Paul, learn from Stephon Castle. It's got a lot of traits. Quick as a hiccup, changes directions well, good at the pick and roll. He just isn't physical enough. His three-point shot leaves a lot to be desired. I really don't know where my grade is on Fears, because I don't know if I'm taking Fears over Filon at this point. I think Filon's still a better player, in my opinion. So it's not a weird pick. I can see the vision of why they did it. I just don't know if I like it. Where do you fall?
I mean, yeah. With this one, I mean, you have, what, two bites at the apple, and so I think this is the one where you swing for more upside. I do find it interesting they go point guard. He would be like the Chris Paul replacement. He gets to learn from Fox, gets to learn from Castle. If we're talking about Trey Johnson, I'd actually probably go Trey Johnson here if I was.
Oh, 100%, man. Trey Johnson's available. A perfect fit.
Well, because they didn't trade him at the deadline, but I feel like a guy like Keldon Johnson and or Devin Vassell become a little more expendable. You still have your pick flexibility. You still have guys that you can move in bigger deals, and I think Trey Johnson would be like the perfect replacement for both of those. And I think San Antonio, who desperately needs a backup big, could wait until the middle of the first round to get that. Or I don't know.
Oh, I agree.
And so I think Javone this one,
and Wu, like, are really low on Sorber. He's not even in like the first like 15 picks, 17 picks or something like that.
I haven't looked at, so I, this is the I first time that, me I looking at ahead. It outside of the Miami one. Yeah.
No, I scrolled ahead a little bit.
Okay. I was like, you could wait a little bit until the middle of the first round. If like you have a, if you have, let's say you have 9 and 13 or whatever, 9 and 14, like,
you know who I actually think is a great fit for them as a big? You know who I think is a great fit for them as a big? Danny Wolf.
Who?
Danny Wolf. Yeah.
Skilled.
I think Danny Wolf would fit. Super skilled 7-footer. You can play him beside Wemby if you want. You can bring him off the bench. Like, I like that pick for them a lot, actually. But we're a little ahead of ourselves. I apologize. Let's move on to the number 10th pick from Oklahoma City. They pair Derek Queen with their already really big lineup. You can play him off the bench. You can play him beside Chet. you have a lot of options that you could do with Derrick Queen on that team. Now, with that being said, I'm actually not as high on Derrick Queen as everybody else is. He's super skilled. He's agile, you know, horizontally, not so much vertically. His shooting touch leaves a lot to be desired. He's not really explosive. So to me, I am moving Queen down my board, but I can see the fit of why they would want a guy like that in OKC. But I just think there's so many more higher upside teams that are guys that can move the needle for your team than Derrick Queen, in my opinion.
He also doesn't have to play right away because Hartenstein's there and Jay Will.
Correct. So. But I want, and this is my point though, I want guys that are better than Hartenstein. Like I want somebody like Sorber, if that's the way I'm going. Like Sorber, I think, would play over Hartenstein by the end of the season.
That perhaps, I don't know. Hartenstein's really good.
He's really good defensively. He doesn't really give you anything offensively. He's a good screener.
I was going to say, I disagree to some extent. I think he's a very good, like, short roll playmaker. He's very good with that in between, like, touch, like, in, you know, like around like the 10 foot area. The screen setting's good. The offensive rebounding's exceptional. Like, he's been one of the best rebounders in the league the last few seasons. But I mean, again, like, if Sorber in this hypothetical scenario, if Sorber is starting ahead of Hartenstein, if he's not injured by the end of his rookie season, that's just an indictment on how good Sorber is. So
that's what I'm saying. I think he has that kind of potential. Is that where Derrick Queen, because of all his limitations, one defensively and two with his lack of outside shooting ability, lack of outside shooting touch. I just think he would be I'd take a swing on a guy like that before I'd take a swing on Derrick Queen. At that pick.
I would too, but neither would have pressure to start right away.
Right.
And that's the weird thing about OKC is like there's so much good redundancy in their roster. Right. Like I was looking at the other day, they still have like 14 dudes or 15. They either have 14 or 15 players like on contract for next year. And so I feel like there's gotta be some consolidation somewhere, but I also feel like I've been saying that about OKC for like 2 or 3 years. But at the same time, like Nikola Topic still hasn't played yet. Like
correct.
He's hurt out for the year. Like there's so much good redundancy and so much like youthful pop that on their roster, like they only have a couple dudes who are like over like 28 or 29 years old. Like crazy how young and good that team is, and like they don't play like they're young. Like they play like they're experienced vets, but they're very like J-Dub is awesome. He's one of the better two-way complementary players in the league. Shea is obviously one of the best players on the planet. Chet is Chet. Hartenstein's really good. That roster is really good, and so I'm very curious to see what direction they would lean if God forbid they got the 10th pick or even higher, in a draft like this, because they're just stacked, dude. I mean, we're going to be saying that now until they may win the title,
right? They could win the title and still have all these picks to add to the team. You're absolutely right. The Houston Rockets, they select the aforementioned Trey Johnson, who we absolutely love. So let's just talk about fit, since we already talked about the player himself a lot. I think he would fit really well down in Houston because I think they're going to move on from Jalen Green. I don't think they're going to end up keeping Jalen Green. And he's really a similar type of replacement player, because the big knock on Trey Johnson is that he doesn't do nearly enough facilitating for scouts, you know, likes, and also he doesn't draw enough fouls. So he's literally like a one-for-one replacement in regards to Jalen Green, just probably less athletic. Like that's the only difference. He plays more defense than Jalen Green.
The better defender? I was about to say he's the better defender than Jalen Green.
So yes, he plays defense.
That fits into what they want to do. This is a team, I think I like this fit for Dre Johnson as much as any of the other ones that we mentioned, just because of how much Houston needs half-court defense or half-court offense. Like, they're one of the worst offensive teams in the league, and they're one of the worst at generating consistently good half-court offense. I mean, Amen has been awesome. Obviously, I love Şengün. Jalen Green's hit and miss. I feel like there's times where he has like a very good like week and a half, and then the very next week and a half just completely, you know, bottoms out. But like if you're able to find a new home for a guy like Jalen Green, who is a polarizing player throughout the league, I would imagine. Trey Johnson, I think if you're at 11 and if he falls to you, like, I think this is an excellent fit for both.
And you said a key phrase, if he falls, because that would be falling. I have him in the top five, top six conversation. That would be a steal of a deal if he can fall that far. Real quick for the people, just a quick timeout. You know, if you're here and you like what you're hearing, don't forget to like and subscribe. I really appreciate it. It helps us out. Lets people know that we're doing this sort of live podcast, puts us out into the algorithm space, and you can always become a channel member to help us out for only $2.99. So let's continue. We have next on our list, at number 12, the San Antonio Spurs. And I'm going to read a lot of what is written here because I have not had a chance to scout this kid out of Slovenia. And I don't even really know how to pronounce his name. Sidin Vida Olympia? Not sure. Berenger has
– team name.
Oh, yeah. Out of there. His name is Joan Berenger. Berenger has drawn increasingly significant crowds of NBA decision makers in Slovenia. The 18-year-old has responded with some spectacular moments on the defensive end, proving to be one of the most versatile players in the class with his ability to cover ground on the perimeter, switch on to smaller players, and protect the rim, leading both the Euro Cup and the Adriatic League in block percentage. Playing basketball for only 3 years, he's had zero high-level experience coming into the season, but is improving every week, giving him a...
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary. Based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride, prescription products require an online consultation with the healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. It prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Unlimited upside and long-term growth. Now, anybody that's ever watched our channel knows that this is the type of player that's right up my alley. Eve Misi only was playing basketball for a few years. We talked about him ad nauseum. And so I'm going to dig into him later and try to, you know, get a scouting video up on him, because that's a very intriguing write-up by the guys from ESPN. And that's exactly what we were talking about, San Antonio needing another big guy. And that's why Danny Wolf would be appealing as well, because he's a big guy. He's super agile, brings you playmaking offensively. He blocks shots, he rebounds. So yeah, this 18-year-old is very intriguing to me as a big for San Antonio.
It's also, I know you San Antonio part of, we're going to draft an international guy that you've never, ever heard of, and we're going to make him into a four-time All-Star.
Yeah, the Greg Popovich special. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's move on to the Atlanta Hawks. Now, this one is a very polarizing pick for me. The Atlanta Hawks take Liam McNeely to go with Jalen Johnson, Trey Young, and Zachary Risacher in that very, very young Hawks team that's been playing super well this season. McNeely is 6'8", 6'10", somewhere in there. We'll really find out at the combine. And he is a true connector piece. I mean, he's a knockdown shooter, coming off screens, spot-up shooting. He draws a ton of fouls in college, which is very interesting that he didn't do earlier in the season. And his playmaking's come up a little bit. His defense is decent, not great. My question is, at 13, can you justify taking a high-level connector at 13? That's my question to you.
I think it's situation-based. I don't know if I would do it for this team, though. And okay. I say that,
talk
like,
to me about that.
I mean, I guess, like, if we're framing him as a high level connector,
that's what he is. I'm telling you, like, that's what the kid's going to be in the next level.
I mean, I see him more as like a shot maker than a connector. I mean, I guess you can be, there's a Venn diagram where you can be in the middle there, but like,
well, let me ask you this. Do you think at the next level he's going to be able to handle the ball well enough to be a primary facilitator, primary ball handler?
No.
All right. Does he facilitate at a high enough level to be a primary facilitator?
No.
Is he going to be able to get his own shot off the bounce?
There is a world, yes.
Oh, I don't see that at all. I don't even see a world. I don't see any plausible path that he is a Mike Miller type, get my own shot at a college type of guy.
Maybe not right away, but I think there's a world where he can develop some of that.
Maybe he can develop some of it. Maybe I see him as a short roll, come off screens, off the ball movement guy. Like I said,
that's how I see him initially too.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying. So at 13, that's just a little bit high for me.
if I'm not like contending for championships, to pick a connector. I just can't pick a connector at 13. That's where I'm at.
But I think it, again, I think it's situation based, because it's like if there's a need for it on your roster and if it connects the chess pieces just a little bit more.
That's what I mean, though. You'd have to be a contender. Like Dallas, like the next pick is Dallas. You could absolutely see him on Dallas's roster, right?
Yeah. I mean, if I was Atlanta, though, I'd probably lean more toward, like, because, I mean, considering Capella's on an expiring right now.
Right.
And I like Onyeka, but, like, I think you would need to supplement that. And I'd like some of the bigs here at 13, like a Sorber, who absolutely, in his hypothetical, would still be available. Like, that. That's kind of more in my head, where it's like, I don't know if I would draft Liam to this specific spot, but like, if you're just asking, could you justify drafting him in the top 15 with his skill set? Like, yeah, I think there's obviously there's growth with the shot making, with the ball handling, the playmaking, which I think's improved as the season's gone along. Him defensively, he's a good rebounder. Like, yeah, I can justify it. It's just, in certain situations, certain situations, sure. Like, I'm not saying this team would be there, but I'm trying to think of like a particular team, because all these teams right here, like, if Oklahoma City would be a team, like, even this high, I was like, yeah, I would absolutely consider it.
You could take him in Oklahoma City because they're contending for a championship. So you're adding another knockdown shooter, glue guy connector to somebody like SGA, Chet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? J-Dub. You have the guys that are going to handle, facilitate, do all those extra things. So, yeah, you could justify that.
And I also think it's like a need. Like, they need a guy who's like obviously Isaiah Joe's there. Aaron Wiggins has had some good games, but like, This is a team that I want to see Cam Johnson go to, just because it's like, if you're just looking for pure spot up shooting specifically at the wing.
Absolutely.
Like, this would be a team that I would want. I mean, heck, even like San Antonio, like, there's all of these spots right here, sure, and like, that's just how the board falls with these, you know, the picks that have been traded over time. Like,
right.
So like, yeah, I could justify it for him. It's just, I think it's more situationally. Like Dallas, to your point earlier, Dallas is another one where it's like, yeah, I can see it.
Yeah, sure. I can see it for a contending team. Let's move on to Dallas. Speaking of Dallas, they no longer have one Luka Doncic. Kyrie Irving isn't getting any younger. So they have the Dallas Mavericks, drafting another playmaking point guard from France, Nolan Traore. He's 6'4". He struggles finishing through contact. He lacks physicality, but he's got leadership qualities, man. And he, in a very, very tough European league, he averages like 8 assists per game. So like, this kid can come in, facilitate, if Anthony Davis is able to get healthy, and add to that Kyrie Anthony Davis mix. So I'm very interested in seeing his career trajectory. I like the fit. I see what they're trying to do there in Dallas. What do you think about the fit?
I definitely see the fit. Let's go with another center. I definitely see the fit here with Nolan.
Absolutely. 100%. Absolutely. So let's move on to the 15th pick. Guess what? Via the Miami Heat, Oklahoma City Thunder. If the Miami Heat, is this the pick that if the Heat make the play-in, that's when it conveys, or is this a different pick?
Well, no, this would be the pick where if, like, let's say Miami's in the play-in game and they lose out and they get back.
Okay, but so Miami could still potentially retain this pick. This
correct.
Would be their
it's pick. Just the thing again. The contentious topic with it is if the Heat keep this pick, that means it locks up their 26 pick and their 28 pick, which means there's less tradable picks for future seasons.
Which you know I don't care about.
I'm organization not saying I do either, about. But like if we're just talking about like, you know, if a big star, because you know they're always going to star hunt, like if a big star comes available, yeah, like yeah. They're going to want as many, they want as many, because they've been asset deprived just from like a pick standpoint for the last several years. And it's just like, yeah, if you, let's say, I'm not saying they should or shouldn't or whatever, but like,
right.
If they wanted that option available to them, it would be much harder to make that attainable without attaching. And so instead you probably have to attach a guy like Nico or Jaime or whatever the case is to, or both of them, or I'm just throwing names out there at this point, but like, you know what, like there's less picks that would be able to become available for them. So that's
right.
That would be like the contentious, like, yeah, great. They get two picks in this draft, which I think more people should be rooting for. But it would mess up your future flexibility from a pick standpoint, a tradable pick standpoint. So that would be like the
right. That would be the other side of the argument. Well, so Oklahoma City here drafts Hugo Gonzalez, another project from Spain. He's super young. I've told you, I've been trying to watch this kid for the first like 5 or 6 games when the European League started, and he never plays. So they write he's had an uptick in minutes over the last 6 games. And let me explain what they don't explain in this article. That uptick is like 9 minutes a game, maybe 10. So on very low volume, he's shooting 46% from 3 since January 1st. They say he's playing mistake-free basketball. No. Oh, he's saying playing mistake-free basketball may convince Real Madrid's coaching. Based on little bits of pieces we've seen from it, they've pieced together from his game, no consistent minutes. I can understand that for Oklahoma City because they have depth to be able to develop a guy and wait and see. So
right.
That's the only, you know, it is what it is. That's still a mystery for me. I mean, do you have anything to add or do you want to move?
No, I'm completely with you there.
All right, cool. The Minnesota Timberwolves take Danny Wolf. Probably, as they write, college basketball's most unique player, ranking as the best pick and roll player in the draft class while being measured at 7 foot. He's exceptionally skilled. He can handle with both hands, finish with both hands, pass with both hands. However, he does turn the ball over quite a bit. But I do like it. I like the fit in Minnesota. Put it pairing with Anthony Edwards. Let him play in that offense. Gives you some outside shooting as a big, rebounds. I'm a big fan of Danny Wolf. His ball handling's come a long way. I've watched him play over, you know, a couple of days ago or a day ago. Can't remember exactly which because I've been traveling. And his ball handling's gotten so much better, man. It's so weird. And I can't stress how weird this is. To watch a team have the guard at the end of a game take the ball out of bounds during a press breaker and give it to their 7-footer to bring the ball up the floor.
Yeah.
And he did it exceptionally well. They put the ball in his hands down the stretch time and time again, and he got to the rim time and time again and made plays time and time again. I'm a big fan of Danny Wolf, man. I'm really coming around on him. What are your thoughts about the fit in the player?
I mean, he's a better fit than Randall is, so.
For sure.
You want to talk about a connective piece. This guy is a connective. No.
The ultimate connector. That's right.
Yeah. No, like, yeah, he's a very interesting, unorthodox type prospect. And, like, again, I remember watching him at the beginning of the season being like, this is, I don't know how sustainable this is. And it was sustainable because, again, like, right. I never watched him at Yale.
Right.
And I know he's one of the few upperclassmen who is in this top whatever.
But he's only 20. He's an upperclassman, but he's only 20.
Is he get what? How old is he going to be by draft night?
He's going to be 20. That's what I'm saying. He's like 20.7 on draft night or something, right?
Well, no, he turns 21 on May 4th.
Per tank. Oh, gotcha.
I mean,
gotcha.
It's not. It's it. We're tomato tomato. But
right, tomato tomato. He's still a young upperclassman.
Yeah. So it's not like he's like Cam Jones.
All right. Well, let's continue to move on to the Orlando Magic. Amazing things. Your internet's breaking up. If you think I'm talking over you, I'm not. I just couldn't hear you.
No, I didn't say anything.
Oh, okay. Ben Sarif. I've been hearing amazing things about Ben Sarif. He's a 6'6 guard. And I really want to dig into his tape. I was going to do that today, got a little sidetracked, but later today, I'm going to go on the ESPN Plus app and I'm going to pull up some of his games and I'm going to watch this kid play ball because I'm really interested. He's a point guard slash guard. He doesn't really shoot the three ball well, but what he does for his size is unbelievable from what I hear. So I'm really interested. He's more of a point guard than a shooting guard, in my opinion. And with Anthony Black being in Orlando, I think he's got a real opportunity for playing time. What are your thoughts?
I haven't watched him play, so I can't give you that.
Well, I really wanted you to comment on the Anthony Black comment I made, but that's okay.
No,
I was just
no, you're not going to bait me. You're not going to bait me. We're not doing that.
All right, I'll read you what's in the scouting report. It says Sarif continues to rack up points, assists, free throws, steals, and bunches, doing things you don't often see from an 18-year-old 6'6 guard. His confidence, feel for the game, and character give him a high floor when paired with his sheer productivity. There's still questions about him struggling from three at 27%, or his propensity for turnovers, which are at 20%. And lackluster defense. Those issues have been a little more pronounced lately, especially against better competition, and scouts will be interested in how he fares that ULM is eliminated from EuroCup. And is he able to focus on playing once a week in the German BBL league? But yeah, that's Sarif. Interested to dig into him. At number 18, the Miami Heat select Colin Murray-Boyles. And if you want to know what I think about this pick,
watch any of our other previous shows, episodes on just any, like, just go and listen to them. But anyways, Adele, you have the floor.
Yeah, they said he is a versatile defender in a Draymond Green type role for South Carolina. And I can tell you that is bullcrap. He is not. He is in no way, shape, or form Draymond Green. He's 6'7", undersized. My issue, too, not only does he lack explosiveness and he's undersized, but whenever I watch him, I barely notice him. And I've watched several games of his, and I barely notice him. He doesn't have really the three-point shooting prowess they would need to play. I mean, he's not going to play over Ware. He's not going to play over Bam. He's not going to play on the wing. It's like he's like a lesser version of Tyler Smith from last season's draft. Because Tyler Smith could shoot threes.
I was going to say Tyler Smith could score at multiple levels.
Right.
Yeah, Colin can't.
There's so many players I would pick over this guy. This would be so weird.
I like what I – whenever I watch Murray-Boyles, again, it hasn't been as much – but I like what I see defensively. But again, like I've said it, I feel like I'm repeating myself for some of these guys, but I just don't know what his role would be offensively. But this would be the funniest outcome just because, like, fans have for years have been complaining about the lack of functional size and, like, why are we sticking 6 foot five guys on the floor? Well, now I guess what you're getting a 6 foot seven guy at the five, because pretty much we're going to have to play him. Off the bench. You're so right. That would be pretty funny. I tweeted this yesterday when I saw this. Feels like every year I would have to go back and like scour up some of them, but like there's always like a Draymond Green like prospect that they link to the Heat And it's just like, why?
Well, but it's like, funny they use that, and never are these guys, but never are these guys even close to Draymond Green defensively. So it's just,
yeah,
it's unreal.
No, I mean, like, there's a ton of players. Like, I would.
Sorber hasn't even come off the board yet.
I was gonna say Sorber, Fleming, Cam Jones, Filon. Jace Richardson, I would take over him. I would take, obviously, Boogie. Like, there would be so many different guys. 18. Ian Jackson, I would take over him at this spot, just given the fit. Like, I...
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
All right. Not well, that so I what we're gonna
dislike
do.
Colin, but not a fit here.
Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to finish up the first round, and we're going to continue the second round of this mock draft on Tuesday of next week, whenever we go live again. So let's finish this draft. We'll go to Utah Jazz. They select a power forward, Noah Essengue. Not a three-point shooter, doesn't really handle the ball well, just an athlete. He's really an athlete, a very young athlete is what he is. I mean, I like the fact they're compiling athletes, but you need three-point shooting in today's NBA. I'm just not on board with selecting people that don't have shooting touch, especially not high or in the first round.
Who did they draft in this first pick again? I want to say it was – oh, yeah, they got Ace.
Yeah, they got Ace Bailey.
So you're
so I know you need people to do the dirty work, but they got to be able to space the floor a little bit. Like the thing about today's NBA, you got to be able to handle a little bit and space the floor a little bit. And Noah doesn't do any of that. Moving on to the 20th pick, the Brooklyn Nets select Will Riley. That's your guy. I know how much you love Will Riley. 6'8", 19 years old, 3-point shooting touch. I mean, at 20th overall, I can justify that because of the upside.
That's what Brooklyn's going for, is they're just throwing darts, and hopefully they have multiple dart throws. They're just chucking darts.
Chucking darts at this point.
So
this is scary, dude. This next pick is scary. The Oklahoma City Thunder at number 21 overall select Asa Newell out of Georgia.
I didn't even mention him for Miami. He was another one.
It's insane. It's insane. It's insane that he would fall that far. He's got a 7-foot wingspan. Dude's a major athlete. Offensively, he can post up. Got a nice jump hook. He's good around the basket. He'll dunk on your head. He'll block shots, rebounds, sets good screens. Needs to get stronger. But holy crap, if they can get him. I mean, this draft is very scary because OKC can just load up, dude.
They got Hugo, and then who else did they get? Oh, they got Derek Queen. So they'd go with two backup bigs?
Two backup bigs. Maybe one of them starts.
I guess.
I don't like Queen. I told you that. I don't like Queen that high. I don't see it. I just don't see it. I don't see it, man. Like, I love Asa Newell, and I had Asa Newell in, like, the top 11. So, nah. Drake Powell goes to the Indiana Pacers over Ian Jackson. I don't see that happening. But Powell, I mean, he's not a great three-point shooter, not a terrible three-point shooter. Great athlete, good point of attack defense, but he's undersized. I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, again, there's players in this draft that I like way better than Powell. Like Carter Bryant goes 23 to the Brooklyn Nets. And with Carter Bryant, you're going to get a great defensive player, long wing, like a chess piece on defense, versatile, can switch, goes to the basket, hits his free throws. Not a great three-point shooter, but I really like what Carter Bryant's becoming.
I think Drake's gotten better as the season's gone too. Like
He has.
I mean, his arms, he could probably touch the ground with how long his arms are. Like, I'm very interested to see what his measurables are just standing up. Like, he touches his kneecaps.
Yeah.
But no, I haven't watched as much Arizona as probably you have, but I have seen bits and pieces, and I have liked what I've seen from him. So,
yeah, he's strong as heck. Goes to the basket hard. I love 3-and-D, and I love the 3-and-D prospect with him. Yeah. To go with that young Brooklyn team. The Nets, though, if the Nets get Sorber at 24, they get a steal of a deal. If they can add Sorber with the 24th pick, because he will be a guy. I mean, I know they have this infatuation with Noah Clowney, who I really don't believe in as a prospect or a player. But I see Sorber really doing damage and starting like right away. Who's the young guy they have down there? Not young guy, but
it's Claxton.
The Turtle likes him. Claxton. Yeah, I could see them starting or not starting Sorber over him, but moving him for picks or pieces and Sorber taking over eventually. So I like that pick for them a lot. Because even if he's a backup, like he'll destroy other NBA backups.
Yeah. No, I'm completely with you there. This would be a great fit for him. I think back-to-back, those are two good picks.
Absolutely. Orlando comes back and gets your boy, Adu Thoreau. The bull in a china shop, just a wrecking ball. Plays extremely hard. Good defense, rebounding, athleticism. But again, what does this say for Anthony Black? If they select another
guy. This has nothing to do with Anthony Black. This has... something. I don't know why they would do this pick anyway, but Adu and Black are two different players.
They are two different players, but they are long, like athletic, supposedly downhill attacking players. I know Black is allegedly a facilitator, which he doesn't do nearly enough and doesn't score in the paint nearly well enough. I just think his days are going to be numbered, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but this pick has nothing to do with that.
All right. You're right. I'm just saying.
I don't know why they would make like more wings who can't shoot.
Right. Why would you do that?
Like, I like it, dude. Not in this context. I mean, there needs to be some semblance of spacing. Like, I know they got Da Silva last year, but it's just weird. Like, obviously, they signed KCP in free agency, but I don't see the fit here necessarily. Like,
yeah, I don't see
he's got either. It. They say in here he's a 3-and-D mold, but he's not a 3-point shooter at all. Or at least
not at all.
Missing something. Like
not at all. No, you're not missing anything.
Gets to the free throw line a ton. Hasn't made them consistently. I think he's gotten better as the season's gone on, but he's shooting 25% from three on two attempts. Like that's just not. I wouldn't do this if I was Orlando. I would go like the Cam Jones direction if I was them. But
this next player's caught my eye. He's intriguing. I haven't isolated him, but I've seen him in passing. Alex Condon, the center from Florida. He's playing an essential role for the number 3 ranked Gators, as evidenced by his outstanding performance this past weekend, outplaying potential National Player of the Year candidate, 700-year-old Janiah Broome. The Australian big acts as a significant playmaking hub in Florida's offense. That's the key to him. His ability to facilitate out of that dribble handoff, out of those pick and roll actions. He's one of their primary facilitators on offense. Agile, can handle the ball. The guy's really interesting. There's a ton of 7-footers in this draft, man. It's crazy how many mobile bigs with good instincts are actually in this draft. Not including Derek Queen. I'm just kidding. I'm not picking on Queen. He's in there, but not as high as they have him. Did you get any opportunity to watch Florida play at all this year?
I've watched him. I haven't isolated Condon yet, but I have liked what I've seen. Just from like again the playmaking standpoint of things. And he again, very young player. They're still there's still plenty of growth to be had with his like his shooting and whatnot. But just from like a playmaking perspective, because I've watched them to try to get an eye on Clayton. And he has caught my eye a couple of different times. So I haven't disliked what I've seen. I haven't seen him. This may be the first one where I've seen him in the first round on mocks. But
absolutely.
Which isn't a bad thing. But
right.
I didn't know he was getting that kind of buzz, I guess.
No, it's just recently people started to catch on. Noah Penda is our next pickup at the 27th overall spot. Washington Wizards take the small forward / power forward. I haven't had a chance to watch 1 minute of his play, but we'll dig more into him later. The Wizards are rebuilding, so any talent they can add, I'm all for it. The Boston Celtics, this kills me, dude. This hurts my heart.
No, this would kill me.
This hurts my heart. The Boston Celtics take Rashear Fleming, the power forward out of St. Joseph, literally a 3-and-D monster at the next level. Steve Fine says both Condon and Clayton impress him at Florida. Yeah, they're both impressive. I don't know how much Clayton's going to have a chance at first round or even early second round ability. He's been at Florida for a while, and he's been in the NCAA for a while. But if Fleming goes to the Boston Celtics, I will throw up on draft night on camera.
There's going to be someone who they get, or it's just we're going to be – you and I are just going to be like, ah, oh, geez. Like,
right. I mean, he rebounds well too. It's not like he's a bad rebounder. His point of attack defense is very good. It's just when it comes to ball fakes, he jumps at everything, man. He picks up a lot of fouls because he jumps at everything. But, yeah, that would be a great pickup for them. The Phoenix Suns get Alex Caravan at 29. I really like Caravan. I like his game translating in the NBA because he could be that short roll guy. He moves without the ball well, shoots on the move. I like Caravan as the late round first. That's a great pickup
for the Atlanta Hawks. A very smart player.
For the Phoenix Suns. Yes, very smart player.
Very smart player. Like he would be like a perfect like glue guy on a contending team.
I love it. He's a connector.
Yeah, man. And Phoenix would be a good spot for him. So
absolutely. Phoenix would be a good spot. Makes it, you know, him and Jalen Bridges, if Jalen got a standard next season, him and Jalen Bridges off the bench as like the wing and in Caravan as like a power forward, not a bad pairing off the bench. Not a bad pairing.
Do we see Caravan as an actual power forward?
He's not a wing, though. He can't handle well enough to be a wing.
But and he's not big enough to be a center. Be a power forward. Is he? Look at his measurements.
He's tall enough. He's not strong enough.
6'7.75, 219. So I maybe.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, he could be a small forward or a power forward.
In my head, though, he plays like he's like 6'5. Or not plays like he's 6'5, but he just looks 6'5. He's the new Ace Bailey.
Well, Ace Bailey's he's 6'4 according to you.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, man, I've upgraded him to like 6'6.5. Again, each game that he plays well, he increases.
He gets a little taller.
Yeah. By the combine, we'll be like, dude, this. I thought this guy was like 7'3. Like, what?
Yeah, that's right. at number 30, the LA Clippers select Jace Richardson from Michigan State. I've actually come around to Tom Izzo's offense maybe holding Jace back. He may be a better NBA player than he is going to be a college player under Izzo. Not saying Izzo's a bad coach or using him wrong, just in that system, he doesn't always get usage. And of late, man, he's been balling. He got the start the other day. He had like 30-some-odd points. He's 6'3", 185 pounds. He can handle. He can finish in the lane. Great body control. Can hit threes. He can defend. I like him a lot, man. So getting him at 30 would be a steal. I really like that pick for the LA Clippers. So what we're going to do, we're going to leave it there. I really appreciate everybody that's been here. We're going to do the second half of this mock draft, the second round, on Tuesday. And so me and Matt Hennepin will go through the second round. We'll talk about fit and all that. Really appreciate Steve. Steve's one of our main people in the chat. Be like Steve. Talk to Steve when you're here. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Matt, before we get out of here, tell the people where they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
You can find me at NPH _824 _ on Twitter. You can find me at hot.hoops.com. You can find me at MountainWestConnection.com. You can find me at VendettaSportsMedia.com, as well as playback.tv/5RSN. Please go also check us out on playback.tv/hoopsprofile, which we are at right now.
We are there right now. Appreciate our YouTube audience. That's who's mainly this is for. So we definitely want you to keep coming to YouTube as well. Playback for whenever we may get access to the NCAA tournament. We want you to definitely follow us over there on playback.tv/hoopsprofile. Don't forget to like and subscribe. One thing I wanted to shout out too, if you ever want to become a channel member, it's only $2.99 a month. We do have merch discounts as well. I think it's 10% off any of the merch you see. So hats, shirts, any of that stuff. But we put up a poll question. Do you prefer this playback room or the old Streamlabs setup? Streamlabs won with 67% of the vote. So we will continue to do the Streamlabs setup according to the people. Again, don't forget to like and subscribe to the podcast as well on anywhere you can find podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio. Get notified because I know while I was traveling, I was listening to our Five Reasons Sports podcast, the NBA feed, and me and Matt's podcast just to help out the algorithm a little bit. But I will talk to you guys later, and I'll see you next time.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. It prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.